Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to this week's Living Torah. And before we get into anything, I'd like to talk to you about an email I received this morning. Some of you probably already have this news. For others, it may not be something that's really relevant to you because you may not know the person. But I just received an email this morning about the passing of a lady who I've known for a lot of years. Her name was Lois Parrish, and she got married a few years ago, Lois Parrish Brown. And her husband sent an email out. I received it a couple of times from different sources this morning. But I remember working. I haven't seen Lois in a while. We've emailed back and forth with her and also with her husband. We'd email back and forth through the years, maybe a couple, three times a year, just to keep up with what's going on. But anybody that knows Lois, she was just a wonderful lady, and she was always one of those that was in the background. She was a servant, and if you've been to a large conference, if you've seen the banners that Lois did and the stories that she would tell about these banners and how they came forth, was just an incredible, incredible thing. And so we would like to, I want to read to you a bit of an email that came out regarding her, and this is from her husband, Boyd. And of course, those of you that know Lois know that she'd been battling, I believe, cancer for quite some time. He starts the email about that says, "My bride passed away to be with Yeshua today," and this is August 13th at 4 p.m. And here are her wishes. Number one, Lois wanted to be buried at a ranch of some dear friends in, and I'm not going to tell you where it's going to be. That's just, I think you'll understand. They were so gracious to stay. They stayed with Lois and Boyd stayed with them many times there. There's a ranch there. She wanted to be buried there. Lois wanted me and our dear friend to build her a pine box. My friend told me to stay with Lois, and he built a beautiful blue pine box for her. Lois did not want to be cremated, of course, or embalmed, because that was an Egyptian thing. And if you have loved ones or you're planning either one of these, this is not a judgment, okay? This is her wishes. So I have 48 hours to bury Lois, which everything is in order to happen. Lois wanted to be buried in her wedding dress, which she is in now, with curls in her hair. Lois wanted her feet pointing east toward the Mount of Olives, where Yeshua is going to return. We both want people to remember her for her beauty, both inside and outward, before this terrible disease took over her body. Without a big gathering that would inconvenience people in these tough times, there would not be enough lodging for all the people that would want to be there. And last, Lois would want me to ask for her that if anyone would like to send donations or flowers, to send a donation to your favorite Torah teacher with Lois's name mentioned. And as Lois would say, bless you, and shalom, shalom. For those that know, that knew Lois, she'll be missed. And she's one of those people that I think if you were standing anywhere close on that day, she's going to be up in the front of the line, put it that way. She's going to be in the front of the line to see Yeshua, because she was a person that lived by the Torah. She taught Torah through her actions, and she was also a servant. And this is a verse that I've used many times in many places, but I don't think it's been ever more appropriate than for Lois. And it's Isaiah 57 verse 1. "The righteous person perishes and nobody gives it a thought. Godly men are taken away and no one understands. The righteous person is taken away from the evil yet to come." She was saved from the evil that is coming upon this earth. And so if you think about it, let's pray for Boyd and for those that are involved in this time. And, wow, what an incredible way. A pine box, that's me, folks. A pine box on a ranch with my Levi's, my Carhartt t-shirt, and my camo zeet. It doesn't get better than that, because I'm not going to see the ground. I'm going to see the King. And so I just applaud the way that they're doing this. For those of you that have already sent in, already sent in Sukkot offerings, thank you so much. The response, if your response of what I put out, you know, toward the first of a month is any, or I guess, yeah, toward the first of the month, is any idea of what we're going to see in the Sukkot offering this year, I am absolutely blown away already by the response. And I'm looking forward to this. We already have, there's already people there in Israel on the ground, and they're gearing up for the harvest. There's all kinds of things going on in Israel. This is a wonderful time. And so to be able to go, God willing, here in just about just over 30 days, be there. Before I get there, I got to go to Ohio. And that's where myself and Daniel will be heading out to tomorrow morning. And we'll be up in a little town in central Ohio. I've never been to this area up there, so really looking forward to being there. We're going to be there for the whole weekend, and then coming back and getting my efforts, everything is going to be toward, already is, toward Israel. And not only being there and being a blessing for the people there, not only being there and taking the taking an offering there, but I also am trying to, I'm actually upgrading some equipment right now and doing some things because I want to make this Sukkot in Israel an experience for you. For those of you that are not able to go, you know how I've done this in the past with our, you know, walk through Jerusalem with a camera on my shoulder and various things that I've done. Well, I don't know how I'm going to step that up yet, but I'm going to try. And so I want to make this Sukkot, and actually I'll be there at the end of Sukkot and then pass that into the month of October. But I'm really praying about ways that I can make this 21st trip for me to Israel not only an experience for me, not only an experience for the Israelis that we will come in contact with, but also an experience for those of you who have your feet pointed toward the Mount of Olives. So, alright, with that, let's get in the Word today. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 22, verse 33. From the crowd, when the crowds heard how he taught, they were astounded. And of course, this just ticks off the scribes and Pharisees. But when the Pharisees learned that he had silenced the Sadducees, they got together. Now, these two groups of people don't normally like each other, okay? They are religiously opposed to one another in their doctrines. This is kind of like, what would it be like? Kind of like the Baptists and Methodists coming together. No, it's even more than that. It's way on out. Think of two... think of the assembly, maybe this would be, the old-time Pentecostal holiness and the Christian reform coming together in one place for one purpose. This would kind of be like the scribes and Pharisees. These people were on two separate sides, but they came together for a purpose because Yeshua was, they were jealous. Religion got jealous. Now, as last week we talked about, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The stupid joke. That's why they were sad, you see. The Pharisees, now when the temple would be destroyed in 70, the Sadducees, because they didn't believe in the resurrection or anything past the temple, their whole life was about the building of the building, not the building, but the structure of the temple. When it's not there, they have nothing going on. So they just kind of fade out into various different places. The Pharisees, on the other hand, these people, and we can see it in their questioning right here, these people are the seed of Rabbinic Judaism. When the temple would be destroyed in 70, the Pharisees, and this is a generality, but the Pharisees, for the most part, many of them would go to the northern town on the Galilee called Tiberias, and they would begin writing the Talmud. And so we have two Talmuds. We have the Talmud that was written in Babylon, and we also have a Talmud that came from Tiberias. Tiberias is still an interesting place. You can go there, and there's the cemeteries dating back. And there's special events that are done. And this is so we see in this the seed of what we have today in rabbinic Judaism. And I try not to be anti-rabbinic, anti-church, anti-Semitic, any of those anti-things. But we do see in these people a seed that would be planted and is still putting forth fruit today, which is anti-Yeshua. And so these people come to him, and one of them, who was a Torah expert, the word there is translated in most translations, he was a lawyer, but if you go back just to the Greek word there, he was an interpreter of the Torah. So the Pharisees, as was the case with the Levites, there were different levels and different jobs within the sect called Pharisee, okay? And so this person was someone who was an expert. He was learned in interpreting. He would be what we would call today a judge, okay? A judge of the law. He was interpreting what the Torah said. And so he was one of the big guns, put it that way. He was one of the big guys, and so the probably would never have given anybody the time of day. But in order to handle this situation, you know, you bring in the expert from the ivory tower, and that's what they did. Asking him a question, in order to trap him. And they say, Rabbi, which of the mitzvot in the Torah is the most important? And he told them, you are to love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This is the greatest and most important mitzvah. And a second is similar to it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the Torah and prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. Now, you and I know very well, if you've been around Hebrew roots, Messianic, for more than about 3.5 days, that this is one of the verses that is used by Constantinian Christianity and those who have never thought through anything, but are just, you know, kind of laying out what they heard, okay? They don't think, you just regurgitate what somebody said to you. And this is the verses that people say the law is done away with because Yeshua said we only have two laws. Love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all that we have to obey. Okay? What's the answer to that? The answer is that's all you've been supposed to obey from the start. These two mitzvot, or we're going to actually take it into three mitzvot. What? Three? I'm adding one, right? Explain it in a moment. These three mitzvot, or as Yeshua says, two. And I'm not in disagreement with him, but I'm going to expound on it a little bit more. So I'm going to go back to two. These two mitzvot, on these two hang all of the Torah and the prophets. It could be said like this. On these two mitzvot, love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, soul, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, are the summation of the complete Torah. That's a little different than these replacing the Torah. But this is actually, and this goes back to Rabbi Hillel, I believe it was, that the story is told of a person who went to Shammai and Hillel, We haven't talked about them in quite some time. And a student went to Rabbi Hillel. I believe that I'm telling the story the right way. If I'm not, it still will make sense. And said, could you sum up the Torah while standing on one foot? He stood on one foot and he said, love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Yeshua was basically bringing to them their own teachers. Everybody standing there, including especially the expert, knew who Rabbi Hillel was, knew who Rabbi Shammai was, and they knew the teachings as well as they thought they knew the Torah. They probably knew the teachings of Hillel and Shammai more than they knew, and this was a problem, more than they knew the Torah. And so because of this, when Yeshua says this, they know they don't have anything to deal with, because Yeshua has just laid out for them the teaching that they had already heard but had never bothered to walk in. And so this brings in something that I want to talk about, and this is something that I've done. Many of you probably listening, watching me today, and listening, I'm going to try to, as I draw this out, I'm going to try to put it in terms to where those of you who are listening on a CD or you're just watching or listening to the video, listening to the audio, there you go, will be able to follow this. And this is very simple. This is very basic. This is the simplicity of the simplicity that I want to talk about today. And the reason I want to go back to it is because I remember I've talked about this some time ago, a Promise Keepers meeting I was in with Coach Bobby Bowden from Florida State University and FSU. And Bobby Bowden said that once in a while he would always go back, no matter what his team was doing good, doing bad, he would always go back and say, this is a football, and this is what we are to do with football, okay? So he went back and taught the basics. And so what I want to do is talk to you a little while about the basics of what this verse is bringing forth. What is Torah? Okay? And I've done, you know, I've got a whole series on this of what is the Torah. Well, the Torah, my favorite definition was actually given to me by an Orthodox Jewish friend of mine in Jerusalem, who said the definition of Torah is the expressed will of Hashem unto mankind. This is the wording he would have used. The expressed will of Hashem unto mankind. So what I'd like to do is take a paper here and try to do this in front of the camera as best I can. And I'm going to, just in the center of this piece of paper, I'm going to put a dot. And I'm going to call this dot the Torah. I'm going to call this dot the expressed will of Hashem, of Yahweh, unto mankind. This is what the Creator of the universe desires you and I to do, is contained in this dot. Looks pretty simple, does it not? We could call that dot following Him. We could call that dot loving Him. We could call that dot being committed to Him. We could call that dot being a disciple of His. We could call that dot many different things as we see that dot as the expressed will of Hashem unto mankind. But the question has to be asked, how do I live out that dot? Okay? That dot is very simple, but that dot is very complex in the fact that I am not Yahweh. That's very obvious. I do not understand Him. He is the one who spoke the world into existence. He is the Creator. He is so far above humankind there is no possible way for our finite brains to figure him out. I say this jokingly and always get a little flack for it, probably from my own wife, but I'll be out of town. It's like a man trying to figure out a woman. Okay, Kathy said to somebody else, you know, Mike's still trying to figure out women. That's true. And I know that I will go to my grave in my blue jeans, my Carhartt t-shirt, and my camo zeet, not figuring out women. Why? Because they're much more complex in ways than us guys are. We're pretty simple, right? They are very complex. Well, take that and, like, you know, put the however many squared on there, and you're trying to figure out, that's like trying to figure out who he is. So if I'm going to try to figure out who he is and do his expressed will just out of that dot, I'm going to come up short, and I'm going to imagine this pen as an arrow and imagine this paper as, with the point in the center of it, the dot in the center of it, as a bullseye. And as I try my best, not having any further instruction, I try my best to do what his expressed will is. I shoot an arrow toward it, and I miss. I miss the mark. I sin. Because, see, the basic definitions that we've been told and are true is that righteousness is hitting the mark. Sin is missing the mark. So if I want to do acts of righteousness based upon my faith in him. See, first of all, in order for this equation to work, I must believe that there is a paper. And I must believe that there is a dot. And I must have a desire to hit the dot. I must have faith that the dot is, and that the dot is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. After the dot. Is this complicated? Of course not. But I, in my humanness, I don't have the facilities within myself to be able to figure out what he is and who he is, though I have a desire to hit the mark. So, what he does, what he has done in the scripture, is he has, first of all, and we see this in this one right here, he's drawn a ring around the dot. And that ring is called two commands, two instructions. You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now I have an easier way to hit the mark, because I know that the mark, the center, the expressed will of him unto mankind, is in the center of doing two basic things: loving my neighbor as myself, and loving him with my heart, soul, and strength. But we humans, especially us guy humans, are a little on the dense side sometimes. And I'm not sure. Now, the loving your neighbor as yourself, that one may be a little bit easier to figure out. If we just had to sit down with a group of us and say, okay, how do we love our neighbor as ourself? We would probably be able to come up with some things. But then we'd come back to, see, we've got two things to deal with. We have, let me go to a different page here. We have us right here, okay? That's you and me, little stick man there, okay? And the scripture is telling us about two different relationships. One which is vertical with Yah, and one which is horizontal with our other little stick men guys out there, and stick lady guys, like persons out there. So the Torah is teaching us about how to love Yahweh or Elohim with our heart, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Okay? So, I don't understand how to do this. So what did he do? He put another circle out here, and we call that circle the 10 words. You're to not make any graven image. You are to honor the Shabbat. Oh, I didn't know that he liked the Shabbat. Okay? If I was just in there in the center trying to figure that out, I didn't know that he had a day that was special. I didn't know that he had days that were special. Because out of the Shabbat comes Yom Teruah, comes Sukkot, comes Pesach, comes Rosh Chodesh. All of that comes out of the Shabbat. Now, I didn't know that, I mean, I could have maybe figured this out, that in order to love my neighbor as myself, that I shouldn't kill him. Now, it's, I think would be pretty obvious to at least most people. But when it comes down to this, you know, you shall not covet, or you shall not lie, and those were a little, you know, maybe farther out on our little midrash, our little discussion. We hadn't quite got to those yet. But see, here's what he has done. He has given us 10 words, and those 10 words all point into 2 commands, which all point into his express will. Now, just in case we're still dense, and most of us are, I mean, how do you and I, you shall not commit murder. That one's pretty easy. But what about this thing of not making any graven image, or Shabbat? Okay, how do I do those things? Okay, he's given us now 603, approximately. It was actually not 613. But 603, why 603? Because here's the 10 in here, and we have 603 commands, instructions, which all point to the 10, which all point to the 2, which all point to hitting the mark. Now what I have is I have an easier target to aim at, okay? It's like a cone. We could imagine it like this. If you've ever, one of our favorite shows these days is Top Shot. I love that, you know, because of the trick shooting and things. And what they do sometimes is they have a PVC pipe down there, and you have to take an arrow and you have to pull back on that bow, and you have to shoot the arrow through through a PVC pipe, okay? And these PVC pipes get smaller and smaller and smaller. It becomes harder and harder to hit the mark. But if you have a half-inch PVC pipe down there, but then you put adapters on that PVC pipe, that by the time the PVC pipe's like, you know, right in front of you, and it's like 5-inch, you know, 5 or 6-inch, let's say 6-inch sewer pipe, right? And so you have 6-inch pipe here, and it adapts down to that half inch. Well, it's pretty easy then to shoot the arrow, because these adapters, if you would, are directing your arrow as it flies into this contraption that we have made. It is being directed into the center. So this is what we're doing right here, is the 603 are like one of those adapters. This is our 3-inch PVC pipe that is directing our arrow toward the 2-inch PVC pipe, toward the 1-inch PVC pipe, toward the half an inch PVC pipe. Okay? We're aiming through the 603 and being directed through the 603 to the 10, to the 2, to the one to the center. Now, just in case we're still a little dense, and most of us are, we have other rings around here called prophets and writings. Just in case we're still having a hard time, we have the Gospels. In fact, we could even take that ring, and say that we have a new level here in our getting to the mark, that you and I have such a difficult time that we're having a hard time pulling the arrow back. We're having a hard time even figuring out the bow. We're having a hard time seeing the target in front of us. And so the one who is in the center came out of the center, manifested himself as an instructor, and is now helping us. Daniel worked out at a Christian camp here the last couple of years. And he said, you know, the little guys, I remember this in Boy Scouts and camps that I go to, that we would have archery. They, you know, and now it's a lot bigger than it was. You know, then we just had the, you know, stuff from Pick and Save. But you had archery day, and what you had during the day of archery, you had an instructor. And the instructor would actually reach their arms around from behind you, and they would help you in holding the bow, and they would help you in pulling the string with the arrow back, and they would actually help you kind of getting your aim there, so that if you submitted yourself to the instructor, what were you going to do? You're going to hit the mark. This is the place of Yeshua. That we see that the Creator, who is in the center, of whose will we are through faith trying to do, saw that in all that He had given to us, we were still having a difficult time hitting the mark. So he said, I will step out of my place. I will manifest myself to them, and I will instruct them through my own life. I will live out the arrow. I will help them in shooting their arrow. Everything pointing to hitting the mark. Now, we also have the apostolic writings. We have words of Shaul, Paul, which I dare say today most of us are coming to the conclusion that Paul is not our enemy, that Paul was not teaching a different page, a different gospel, but that Paul was teaching how to do the prophets. He was teaching the same as what the prophets and the writings said. He was teaching how we should do the 603, which would lead us to the 10, which would lead us to the 2, which would lead us to the center. You know, that right there. To say that the commands, the two commands in the center, love Yahweh Elohim with all your heart, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, to say that they replaced the dot? No. They lead us to the dot in the center. So I hope that little illustration there helps you. And not only does it help you in trying to figure this whole thing out, but maybe it also helps you and will help you in the days to come. You get somebody sitting in front of you and saying, you know, what's this Torah thing all about? I'm just really not sure because, you know, Jesus said we are just to have two commandments now. And you say, well, let me draw something out for you. And you come to your own conclusion. Maybe it'd go better than just the constant debate about it. So, hope that helps you. Now, let's go back to a couple of other things regarding this. Is what is the Torah? Again, what is Torah? Torah is the expressed will of Yahweh unto mankind. And this is, what it, so what is Torah? Torah is his heart. Literally, Torah is his heart. Now, and I'm probably not saying this to many people that maybe some of you have never heard this. Some of you have forgotten this, okay? I was watching Brad Scott last night on some new DVDs that he's done on the Sons of God. And if you haven't gotten this one, how many commercials can I give for these guys? If you haven't seen his DVDs, I think it's called Sons of God. It's about the first six chapters of the book of Genesis. Very, very good stuff. And so it's available on his website. If you go to wildbranch.org, it's the first page there, and it'll say new DVD by Brad. And so I was listening to this, and I'm thinking, you know, I wish I could remember things like Brad, you know, like Brad remembers, or like Eddie remembers. I just can't. I look back at my notes and go, oh, yeah, I need to remember this, you know. And so maybe you're a little more like me, which is probably a problem. But you don't remember everything, so let me throw this one out to you. If we look at the Torah, the first five books, the first letter is the Beit, right? The Beit is the house. The last letter, you know, Bereshit. Beit. The last letter is, or the last word in the Torah is Israel. The Lamed. Lamed Beit is the word Lev. For those of you that have been receiving packages from Lev HaOlam, Heart of the Land, if you haven't, I can give you more information on that. Really, really great if you can afford it. But from Lev HaOlam, Heart of the Land. And so the word Lev is the word heart. Interesting that at the center of the Torah, the belly of the Torah, is it said, which is Leviticus, I think it's 11:24, there is an enlarged Lamed. And the Lamed is a letter that stands above. It's the only letter that kind of goes above every other letter. And this enlarged Lamed in the center of the Torah speaks to us about something. And of course, if we take, and I talked about this on this month's video, or this month's CD, regarding the month of Elul going into Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, is that if we take the letters on each side of the Lamed, we have the Mem, the Lamed, and the Kof, Melech. Maybe you know that word, Melech HaOlam, the king. So what is the Torah? The Torah is the heart of the king. Let's see. Expressed will of Yahweh unto mankind. I think that works too. Okay? And he brings this verse out and he says, you are to love Yahweh your Elohim. Now, you have to have first accepted. You have to have first accepted he is Yahweh, your Elohim, not your grandmother's Elohim. The word Elohim, God. So Yahweh, a specific directing to, not, you know, just any old God, but a specific, and this is on the heels of, he is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So it's directing us back that we cannot be looking just at whatever, you know, whatever Yahweh, whatever God out there. We know this is a specific, the one true living Elohim, and he has to become your Elohim. You have to have a relationship with him in order for this whole thing to work. And when we enter that relationship, we are to love him with our heart, our soul, and with our strength. Many translations will say your heart, your soul, and your resources. And it's basically saying the same thing. See in here that love must come from the inside. Why is it that it is said in the scriptures, he would place his Torah, His Word, or as Brad would say, His seed, upon our innermost being. Now, we're not, when we say the word heart, it's not the thing in your chest going thump thump. It is the person that you are inside. If you stop long enough, turn off all the stuff around you, we can actually consider for a moment, and you can, it is one of those, you got to silence yourself for a while to do this, but you know that you got this body thing going on, you know, and then you have this mind thing going on, this brain that's up there with the mass of water and fat. Yes, all of us are fatheads, except for those of us that, you know, if you haven't been doing any fat, then you're not a fathead, and that means you can't remember anything. So, sideline, what I go there. So we have the body, we can see that. We got the brain up here that's thinking through, but if you stop long enough, you know that that brain is not you. That brain is being controlled. That brain is being given signals by something that's me, the inside of me. And so, in order for me to do this, I can't start loving Him by my outward works. I can't begin to love Him by my knowledge, but I must begin to love Him from the person that is inside of me, the person that I really, truly am. And so, I start from the inside, from that person that is me. And it sends signals and instructions to my brain of how to act, which sends instructions of what I'm to do. So in the morning, let's put it this way, in the morning, I get up and I get dressed. Very simple thing that we all do, hopefully. If you don't do that, you're probably not watching me. So we get up in the morning, we get dressed. Because of the person that I am inside, when I put my clothing out and start to arrange, you know, this goes in my pockets, and, you know, because of who I am, because of the person that I am inside, I just have certain things that I do. And so I tell, my inside tells my brain that my keys go in my right pocket. And so my brain tells my hand to grab my keys and put them in my right pocket. The same holds true that I have a pair of zeet-zeet on my dresser. I have camouflage for my everyday, and I have white and blue for Shabbat. And so, because of who I am inside, and my desire to love Him from the inside out, when I get dressed, my inside tells my brain to look on my dresser, which tells my eyes which direction to look. And it's at the same time telling my hand to reach out. And it's telling my hand which set of zeet-zeet to get. And my hand then performs the act and places them on my belt loop. And what have I done? I have loved Yahweh my Elohim with my heart, my soul, and my strength in putting on a set of zeet-zeet because of who I am inside. The same holds true with Shabbat or any of these other things. Okay? You do it because of your inside. Not if you're always trying to do it from the outside, it's never going to work. You're always going to forget. You're going to find yourself standing in Home Depot or Walmart going, ah, oy vey, it's Shabbat. What am I doing here? Why? Because it's an outward expression. And the outward never changes a person. Only the inward can change a person. And in the midst of that, then we are to take that same concept and we are to put it to other people around us. We are to love others as ourself. Now, the problem with these scriptures is that I'm running out of time. We have some time limits here, and I'm almost 50 minutes into this thing. Can you imagine? It just feels like to you that you've only been watching me for like 3 or 4 days. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to cut this off right here, and next week we're going to pick up, and I figured this was going to happen, is I could take the rest of this, of loving our neighbor as ourself, and I could, you know, put it into a little nutshell and throw it into 5 minutes of teaching right here, or we can really dive into it next week, because I want to bring you to the third commandment, the third mitzvot. And I'm going to tell you what that is before, and most of you already know. But before I say that, to summarize, he is taking them to the lev, the heart of the issue. And he is showing them face to face that they have departed from the heart of what Torah is really all about. What is Torah about? It's about our arrow making it to a mark. Us doing His will. If you love me, you will aim toward my commandments, my Torah. And grace, as I was talking to someone a couple days ago, this is from a book that I recommended back a few weeks ago, and it's not a quote from them, it's from someone else. Grace is what we get when we miss the mark. Grace is not what we claim when we aim. Excuse me. Grace is what we get when we fall short of the mark, not what we get when we aim short of the mark. Our desire should always be to hit the center of the bullseye. But His grace means that if I hit outside the bullseye, He's going to help me next time in my aiming of the arrow. It's not that we stand up and just say, oh, I'm just going to shoot off at a different arrow, a different bullseye. No, He's given us a single point in front of us to aim for. That's what we're to aim at. The third commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is why I don't want to rush this in this week's teaching. Because What I found in 20 years now, October 17th, will be 20 years of ministry. What I've found in 20 years is that a lot of the problems of why people don't love Yahweh their Elohim with all their heart, soul, and strength, don't love their neighbor as herself, or don't love their neighbor, is because they're having a problem loving themselves. Seeing themselves in the image of the Creator. Seeing themselves is put here because of purpose, not because of chance. And so, we're going to come back next week, next Shabbat, and we're going to discuss loving our neighbor and how that is brought forth in Torah. We're also going to discuss loving ourselves as He loves us. So with that, got to pack up, got to get to Ohio. We're going to be doing, it's going to be a crazy weekend. A lot of new things going to be coming, I hope, starting there. We got a, just to give you a little bit of a teaser here, we're doing a, hopefully, beginning now, I'm starting to make the transitions on into the winter. We're going to start doing some transitions with the ministry of Joined to Hashem I think these things are going to be a blessing to you. We're stepping it up a notch and trying to reach out to as many people as we possibly can. And so I'm going to be doing some things coming up a little different, be explaining that as we get closer, as we move through this. But for now, I just ask if you would. I know many of you, you email me, you write letters, say we pray for you daily, and I appreciate that so much, that we would really find what his heart is, the love of what his desire is, not only for each of us individually, but as the ministry of Joy to Hashem. I want his heart in this. So with that, Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, prosperous week. And Bezrat Hashem, God willing, you'll be seeing me again next week. Of course, you got to turn on the computer to do so and all that stuff, but that's up to you. See you then.
Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Ve'asem lecha Shalom.